Vishnu Paramahansa Paribrajakachayastha Sita Sri Srimad. Is the Vankrishna A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sega Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gauradhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopagavina Shamakunda Radha Kodi Giri Ovatana Ki, Sri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Sri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, so Bhumidev is continuing, talking about Krishna's qualities. In him reside 1. Truthfulness, 2. Cleanliness, 3. Intolerance of others' unhappiness, 4. The power to control anger, 5. Self-satisfaction, 6. Straightforwardness, 7. Steadiness of mind, 8. Control of the sense organs, 9. Responsibility, 10. Equality, 11. Tolerance, 12. Equanimity, 13. Faithfulness, 14. Knowledge, 15. Absence of sense enjoyment, 16. Leadership, 17. Chivalry, 18. Influence, 19. The power to make everything possible, 20. The discharge of proper duty, 21. Complete independence, 22. Dexterity, 23. Fullness of all beauty, 24. Serenity, 25. Kind-heartedness, 26. Ingenuity, 27. Gentility, 28. Magnanimity, 29. Determination, 30. Perfection in all knowledge, 31. Proper execution, 32. Possession of all objects of enjoyment, 33. Joyfulness, 34. Immovability, 35. Fidelity, 36. Fame, 37, worship. 38, pridelessness. 39, being as the personality of Godhead, of being. Okay. And 40, eternally. 40, eternity, and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from him. Okay, so we see that one of the elements here that you won't find in other discussions on, you know, leadership and that, because here we've given, why is Bhumi Devi feeling bad? Because Krishna, who has all these good qualities, who is the supreme, you know, who is the leader, then he is left, right? So now we see in here is that what makes his position is all these good qualities, right? So the qualities aren't separately endeavored for, right? We always are endeavoring for these qualities in connection to Krishna, but we see that these qualities, the difficulty comes up as, you know, in modern they may talk about some qualities, but they'll only talk about those which logically seem to connect to exactly what they're doing for the secondary reason that they're doing it. But what won't be discussed and never will come up is contradictory qualities, because that they can't work out with the mundane intelligence, the mundane logic. And the other aspect to come out is that it's that you're doing something higher, you get these good qualities, right? And so from that, then things go very smoothly. So they'll also be worried about things going smoothly and then trying to use the qualities, but then for them, all it is that their central point of making profit or having influence or, you know, getting done what they want to get done, right? Because then here is that the accomplishment of something is the purpose of management, not the pleasing of the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not about pleasing someone, but you see Krishna's qualities. In him reside truthfulness. That's what we're starting with, right? So generally, if you think of managers, the first word to come out of your mouth will not be truthfulness. Like that. You know, like that. Then the next is cleanliness. Again, another quality just would not come up. Right? But if a clean environment, you're clean, the environment's clean, then naturally people think you'll be truthful, you'll think this and that. Plus it creates a sattvic environment. And in that sattvic environment, then it makes it very easy to manage and do things. In other words, an environment of sattva is easier to manage than one of ignorance. Right? Like we see upstairs, at the top of the stairs, is a quote where Srila Prabhupada is talking about cleanliness, keeping the temple clean purifies the heart, and so this is our business. Our business is purifying the heart so we can be absorbed in Krishna. You know, so this element is there, that's what we do. So if you clean every day, like I was discussing, I mentioned to Sadhu Prabhu that I remember our temple and also other temples, they had different schedules how they did it, but our temple is they finished the morning program. And as soon as the morning program was finished, because it would be earlier than breakfast, it wouldn't be you broke and then it was immediately breakfast. You broke and there was like half an hour, 20 minutes or something before breakfast. Everyone who was in the program, they cleaned the temple. Because everybody did something. You know, someone would do like the temple room, someone would do the hallway out there, some of the stairs in that hallway, some of the upstairs. Just in 15, 20 minutes, the whole temple was cleaned. They were doing a maha cleaning. But they, you know, wiped the floors, put everything back in place and everything. So the whole temple, top to bottom, was cleaned in that 15 minutes. Then everyone would take prasad and then you'd go out and do all your other duties. So in that environment where everyone's cleaning, then their heart is becoming clean. And then the temple is clean, so there's that pure environment. And Krishna's pleased by that since he is, you know, in him reside cleanliness. It's not that he's clean, in him cleanliness resides. Right, all these qualities reside in him. He's the source of. Then the atmosphere being sattvic is so much easier to manage. Right, but we'll put so much emphasis on the technique, think that's what makes it get done. But you're managing people. People have to want to be managed. And they only want to be managed if they're in goodness. If they're in passion or ignorance, they literally do not want to be managed. Right? They're in ignorance, there's no question of them wanting to be managed. Unless there's so much in ignorance, they just don't notice what they're doing. You know, they do that in, what is it, I think in the Caribbean, You know, they give them some kind of special herbs or stuff like that, and then they're like zombies. And then they just do their work, you know, like that. So, yeah. So you can do that. Or if they're in passion, they're smart enough to know that if they follow, they'll get a position, get everything until such point as they can take over. But only in goodness do people actually are comfortable working in an environment where there's administration. You know, there's management, there's leadership. So, therefore, without cleanliness, you know, and truthfulness means it's based on Krishna. It's about Krishna's tattva, right? Intolerance of another's unhappiness. So that's also an important thing. If you're managed, you can't see that others are unhappy. It's not a sentimental thing. It's just a matter of, well, what is the natural thing that people would be happy? Then if someone's not making an endeavor to be happy, then, you know, you can't help them. But if they're trying to be satisfied in their service and all that, then you're trying to see that everything's going nicely for them. So it's automatically part of just the management system. Does that make sense? So based on quality. So the modern is it's based on technique, but it's actually based on qualities. And even if some do talk about qualities, they won't talk about this wide range. Because the thing is, they can only talk enough that it seems logical. So you can only have a couple of qualities. But beyond that, people just can't deal. Like here, she goes up to 40 and stops. Right, nectar devotion will go to 64. So it just goes this far. Then four, power to control anger. Right, so one, if one wants to be able to lead, you have to be able to control anger. It's just even in the modern management, they just know that the big man, unless you can control anger, you can't actually. The more you can control anger, the bigger, higher up you can go in the system. And if you're always angry, then you won't get far. Even if you do, then you get up, okay. But how long do they last? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the... self-satisfaction means on your own, you're satisfied in yourself. That way, if you're satisfied, you can just focus on managing. Otherwise, if you're not satisfied, then you'll focus on the management that you'll get what you want from it, which is not necessarily the whole package. Does that make sense? Six, straightforwardness. So it's straightforward. Straightforward doesn't mean uncultured, because you'll see later is that how he deals and everything. Gentility, magnanimity, you know, these other aspects, they're there. So that straightforwardness just means that it's not political. You're speaking your mind, but you speak it in a gentle way. Right? Because otherwise we have the things, like as mentioned, political correctness, where everything just sounds so fabulous and it's just totally political. And then, or we have straightforward where we just bluntly say whatever we want to say. Somehow or other, for the ideal of straightforwardness, then it just means you can be gross and uncultured and blunt. And what? I'm just saying, you know, like that. You know, so it's but straightforward means you're not dealing in a political way. You're saying what you feel. You're revealing what you feel, but you're doing so in a cultured way, right? You're going to be cultured. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
About truthfulness, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he never said a lie.
Yes.
So you mentioned that leaders are not known for being truthful, but
it means real leaders are, but we're just saying in the modern modern scenario. Yeah, truthfulness. He said, but truthfulness, we have to understand, is not about the facts. It's about Krishna. So therefore, what's appropriate to say connected to Krishna, we say, and what's not. See, is we also have that pastime where on the battlefield, he's asked to say something that's not truthful. But because it's not the fact, he won't say it. But so what's being shown in this pastime is what's pleasing to Krishna. That's truth. Right, the facts themselves are not, they're abstract concepts. We're taking that facts are concrete. No, facts are abstract. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it becomes concrete when you have a, impression about it. Your impression is what's concrete.
you see somebody and you at first like them or don't like them. For you, that's the concrete thing. They're either nice or not nice by your impression. Facts have zero to do with it. You understand? So this whole emphasis on facts just means something that I can use, I can play with. So if you always speak facts, then I politically can deal how I want. I know, you know, things that I want to know you say. And now I can either use that to my benefit. Oh, well, I can always use it to my benefit. Either now I know what you're thinking, so I know how to adjust. Or now I know what you're thinking, now I know how to get you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole emphasis on truthfulness, is simply I'll feel safe because I know everything's good, because I'll be in control. So it's not based on truth, meaning what is uplifting, what is actually of value. It simply means the facts. It's still... Here, truthfulness means, you know, the whole picture. But in the modern context, truthfulness just simply means the situational. Because in the situation, then do I feel secure or not? Can I control that or not? Will I get the results I want or not? So I want to know the facts.
And it's beneficial for creating trusting, loving relationships to be truthful.
But what do you mean by truth? But what is cheating? You understand? So the point is if you don't understand these qualities in connection to Krishna, it's not real. That's why since the 90s, I mean, it was going on before, since the 80s, some devotees would come up with some of these modern kind of ways and saying things. But no one took it very seriously. They were kind of considered sidelined. Only in the 90s it considered it was mainstream. But no matter what system they use, it keeps changing and adjusting and no one's satisfied. Why? Because all those things are never interpreted connected to Krishna. They're using it for Krishna, but they're not seeing it connected to Krishna. So because of that, there'll be no satisfaction for the soul. It seems that you'll get something done, but what's getting done? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. One has to be very careful, is that we'll say, means you'll say that, oh no, but if everyone's truthful, then that, but is it? Does it? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, yes.
Sometimes the Buddha has spoken about taking this modern thing, everything should be transparent.
Transparent.
And then you say, okay, I can give you information, but they don't take it. They're not actually interested in the
information. No.
They just want to criticize that you're not transparent.
Yeah, no, the point is they're trying to find something that is an advantage for themselves. That's all. Because if you're transparent, I can see everything, then I can choose. Just like when you go into the store, all the ingredients are there, and you choose. You know, there's 25 or 30 different kinds of cereal, and you choose which one you want. You know? Does that make sense? That's all. It's just that you want to... Let's say they go to the store, and all they ever buy is Cheerios. Right? So then they go to the shop, you know, guy, where's the cereal? And the guy just hands them a box of Cheerios. That's all he's ever going to buy, but he wants to have the option. I can see all 25 varieties. Then I'll just pick Cheerios. But I have to have the thing. You know, why are you hiding? What's there? What's wrong? You know, in other words, if it's something, there's the idea that I have the right to know anything that I want to know, rather than maybe you don't. It's somebody's personal life. They say transparent. Well, then okay. Well, let's be transparent here. Why do you want things to be transparent? What's your reason? What's your motive behind it? Now, you should be able to tell me that, well, actually, it's, you know, this and that, and I don't trust anybody, and I, you know, find great satisfaction in criticizing everybody. And, you know, it makes me feel better. It gives me a position and all that, because I'm actually not doing a whole lot. But if I find fault in that, it looks like I'm doing something. And so, therefore, I want you to say things so that I can find opportunities to find fault. Is the guy saying that? That's transparent. Right? And if he said like that, you know, why is he saying? Because that's your understanding, your attachments, your that, your material motives. And then others would take it kindly. Okay, he's attached, he's this and that, you know, okay, you know. You understand? But they won't. So these are just political tools. They're not here. What we're talking about is the actual qualities of Krishna and how there he's the residence of these, and that's why he is the perfect leader. Well, these others, it's just a matter of tools. The quality only matters in as much as it's a tool. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is it's not actually about developing these qualities to serve Krishna, because you develop them by using them. Just like, how do you learn to ride a bicycle? By riding it. There's not a separate technique, exercises you do on bicycle, you know, you sit there and walk funny, you know, kind of like that, you know, kind of bend over, lean like this and walk kind of like this. And what are you doing? I'm practicing riding a bicycle, you know, like that. You know, it's just, no, you just ride a bicycle. So in the same way as these qualities, by using them in Krishna's service, that's how you practice them. There's no separate practice. Like that. Yes.
Maharaj, I would like to ask you about the relationship between good qualities and performance of devotional service. Sometime ago we had here a young guest speaker who was saying, and this is a quotation, direct quotation, the essence of devotional service is to develop good qualities. Without developing good qualities, we cannot perform devotional service. Could you shine some light on this subject, please?
Well, the acharyas, then they point out that bhakti is independent, and that's the glory of bhakti. It's not dependent on karma or jnana. So the statement that has been said here by this presentation is saying that bhakti is totally dependent on karma. And of karma, then karma in the mode of goodness. But then if you take it when they say good qualities, then how do they define good qualities? What does that mean, good qualities? So this aspect of attachment to the mode of goodness then has two aspects. One, it'll be kind of universal, because in the mode of goodness, then you'll have piety, you'll have good karma, so therefore you'll get good material results. In other words, religion goes on nicely there. Also, then, if you have the aspect of the mode of goodness, then there's the possibility of the... It also supports the aspects of detachment for those who are interested in jnana and liberation. So it's kind of a nice, mundane, material platform that kind of everybody can get on board. You know, plus if we talk about infers relationships. And so therefore the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam principle, that I'm the friend of everybody, then that can be kind of cultivated. Because nowadays, I can't be the controller, that's kind of out, you know, because we don't accept authority, so it's kind of hypocritical to try to control. And, you know, as devotees, then we're always detached and all this and that, so we can't be the enjoyer. So now what? How do I cultivate my mundane mentality? I still have one loophole, is I can be the friend of everyone. So you see this modern kind of projection like this is all about being the friend. So if you're not pleasant and nice, then you're against you know, everybody. So it's just the modern newspeak. You just throw it into, you know, throw in, you know, some devotional words, and then it sounds great. But the whole point is that we have to be very careful. Bhakti is independent. It's not dependent on that. Because you see, is that, you know, just the example is that, you know, good quality means committed to Krishna. Now, if you see the qualities of the demigods, the cultural ones manifesting, then that's very nice. You know, and if you perform devotional service for long enough, they will come. But devotional service can be performed even if you don't have any good qualities. That's the thing. So otherwise they're saying, oh, it has to be good qualities and this and that. And it's only because of good qualities that people listen to this and don't throw the guy out the front door. But if he had come along and said this, you know, 30 years ago, he would have been picked up and thrown out the front door. You know, and then they would have said, see, no good qualities. Yeah, no good qualities, but bhakti. So that's the whole point. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is independent. So we have to be very, very careful about these things, to that how the material consciousness creeps in. You know, or someone else will emphasize about if you're not detached, it can't be devotional service like this and that. So it's just a matter of whether they're more of an optimist that we can make the world a wonderful place, or they know it's a total write-off and that you can't do anything nice, and so we're just trying to, you know, get out of here. You know? Or, you know, you can always have the combination of both. That's also quite popular. You know, so the difficulty comes up is that we have to be very, very careful of this, because the point is let's say we accept that principle. Let's say we accept that, yes, without good qualities, you can't do devotional service. Where do malechas and yavanas get good qualities? They didn't walk in the door with them. And the point is it's not by reading these self-help books that you get them, because there's millions of those books out there with millions of people reading them, and they're not developing the qualities. So therefore, then, you're in a catch-22, is you can't do devotional service without these good qualities, and as a malecha and yavana, you cannot develop them. Not at least in any short enough time here. Give us a few hundred lifetimes, and yeah, maybe you'll be a nice guy. So therefore, then how will they behave? They develop. Now, the scripture, then the acharyas say, Krishna says, that someone who serves Krishna naturally develops as a side thing. Right? Does that make sense? It just comes on the side. That you do devotional service, these good qualities come automatically. So they're a symptom of, you can see someone's advancing. Like if they didn't have good qualities and now you start to see good qualities, you can understand they're advancing. But just because you meet someone and they don't have good qualities, but you see that they're nicely doing their service and dedicated, that doesn't mean that they're not devotional. You understand? So even if you go with what they say, how will you develop these? What's the system? Okay, cleanliness, how are they going to develop that? Okay, go out there and clean and all that, and, you know, nice. But then that would mean then, you know, then the problem comes is, okay, we need to be clean. And then the problem is in the modern society, then let's say being a house person is looked down upon. Being a career person is better, but the career person is not clean in any way, shape, or form. They dress nicely, so it looks like they're clean, but there's no purity at all. You know, like one of the things I saw some years ago, somebody was talking about these hand-tailored suits, the good suits that are fit so nicely. They say you could sleep in the suit and get up and you'd look good. Right? That's a properly made suit. And then some guy who was talking about that, he was saying, and I think it's true, because I met the other day some guy, and he looked good, but he smelled like he'd been sleeping in his suit. You know? Yeah, you had the fromage, you know. Yeah, so.
And this is follow-up questions, Maharaj. I would like to ask you for your advice. How to deal with such a situation? I will just give you
picture. I don't need the picture. It's just, awesome. It's just like, it's like
it
you,
down,
oh, no, oh, you don't have a wristwatch. See, in these occasions, wristwatches are really, really valuable. Because then, as soon as they say that, you suddenly look at your watch and go, oh, that's the time? And then you just get up and leave. Or you can just say, oh, sorry, I got a bathroom. You know, so then you can leave for that. Or, you know, get out your phone. What? Sorry, I can't hear. You know, then go outside or like that. There's a few techniques you can use. So the whole point is, if that's the only one that comes up, then okay, you leave it. If everything else is good. But now if the whole thing's going to be based on that, then, you know, hey, you know, there's plenty of there's a nice park out there. You just walk down here, you go down, and you can turn right or left or like that, or you can turn right and left. So I was watching yesterday, a couple was walking down, one turned right, the other turned left, and then it was like, kind of trying to figure out what was going on, and, you know, like that. So you just, you know, and you can go down, you can walk for, you know, how long is it going to talk for, you know? So you can go for a nice hour walk and all that. And, you know.
But younger devotees are sitting and listening, and they take it, you know, as...
Yeah, and so then at the next time after the guy's gone, then you talk and discuss what it's actually supposed to be. So it's like...
Okay. That's clear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Or if you have a fire alarm, you pull the fire alarm. Then everybody goes out. You know, you know, the only problem is the fire station will come up, and if you pull an alarm without it actually being, then you get a fine, but... Then you have to look at it, you know, is it you know, which is better, you know.
In other words, one has to be resourceful.
Yeah, yeah, or you can go out and one by one call them out, you know, like that. Oh, hey, did you do, you know, then he goes and, oh, this, that, and, you know, hey, got to go to the store until there's no one left. Yeah, you'd be resourceful. But it says, you'd be pleasant, you'd be nice, you know, it's like, that's where the gentility comes in. You're straightforward, but you're gentle. That's the whole thing, is that, you know, if you're uncultured, then you're rough and all that kind of stuff, but you don't need to be. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
On the train up here, I saw a man reading a self-help management book called How to Be a Badass.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Badass. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, somehow or another we've gotten through 40 qualities, badass didn't come up as one of them. You know? Yeah, I don't think Rupa Goswami mentions it in the... But I mean, if you look at, you know, how he does, like, you know, like with the... In Krishna's mood as Dhirodhata, you know, then you could say there he's a bit of a badass. So the example is given of Poundrika. When Krishna comes and he tells him that he's a frog and all that, and, you know, and he says, you know, Pandrika's saying, you know, you have, you know, unscrupulously, you know, taken the symbols of Vishnu, you know, they belong to me, Pandrika's saying, so you should give him back. Krishna, no problem, I'll give him back. He sends a Sudarshan, cuts his head off, like that. So Krishna does it, but he does it in a gentle way, like that.
Strong leaders. I mean, they're outspoken.
Because there's an idea they'll get something done, right? You know, so it's because leadership has to be able to inspire others. Prabhupada mentions the leaders means that you're inspired in Krishna consciousness, and then you can inspire others in Krishna consciousness. That's leadership. Management means you can manipulate the material energy to get a result that's expected, right? But leadership's something else. It's actually based on inspiration. It's personal. Management, you deal with dead matter, you know. And when you deal with people, they're just movable dead matter, you know, like that. You know that they move around and all that. And if you're a smart enough manager, you accommodate them and deal enough that they do what you want. You know, it's just like if you had to go there and get something out of the closet, but the closet door was, you know, sentient and, you know, like that, you know, you have to please it to get it to, you know, so you can open the door and get your coat out or something, you know, so it's as much as that. That's the problem with just management. It's not personal, because they deal with these techniques and that, they're generic. Otherwise, how does everybody use them, right? They're generic. And so it's not about people. It's getting a visible, tangible result out of something that is also dead matter. Well, for us, is we're using those techniques, because someone might say, well, we do that also. Yes, of course, everybody does that. But the point is we're not thinking that that's the end and that's the success. The end is that now that with that tangible result, Krishna himself as a person subjectively will be pleased. Because in here it's about Krishna's subjectivity, what he likes, what he does, how he does things, who pleases him, who doesn't. And so you have to have a result that will please Krishna as a person. So that's the whole point. So therefore we're going to, and in that sense it's about him as a person and about dealing with the devotees who are people. Therefore you can't deal with devotees just as things. Things you deal with as things, but you have to remember they're Krishna's things. You know, and the people are Krishna's people. What do you call it? All of God's chillin, right?
I'm sorry, Maharaj, I arrived late, so I'm not sure how you explained it, but you mentioned that bhakti is independent from the good qualities.
Yes.
But
it's not dependent upon them.
Okay, but how is it? Because how can we have bhakti unless we understand Krishna, and how can we understand Krishna unless we have the, at least attachment for the quality?
Okay. The point is that we don't know Krishna. That's the first point. The acharyas know Krishna. So they know, they have the quality, they have all these different things. They tell us what we can do. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have to meet somebody. You don't know them at all. And so you have some friends, but they know the person. So you ask them, okay, what do I do? What are they like? How do I deal? And so you just follow that. So in this case is that it's not based on what qualities you have. It's based on your ability to follow the direction of those who do know that person. In other words, your commitment to following the order of guru, that's the most important good quality. Then if these other secondary qualities are there, it just makes it so much more pleasant and nice. But it's not dependent upon that. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, secondhand car salesmen would all be pure devotees. Right?
Yes.
Like that, you know? Especially the guys that have that little, you know, that little gold star in their teeth, you know? So when they smile, there's a ding, ding. Yeah, you know, straight out of a B movie, you know, line of those, yeah. Does that make sense? So the thing is bhakti already contains all the good qualities. So if you're consistent in bhakti, these qualities start to manifest. But bhakti doesn't care if you have the good qualities or not. So generally speaking, the devotee is always using religiosity or pious activities, good qualities in Krishna's service. And so we're used to vikarma. So we're being shown about how we should be performing karma, you know, proper activities. And then those things are connected to Krishna, so you have karma yoga. And then we get adjusted with that, and we see so many different great kings and personalities using that in Krishna's service and all that. And when we get adjusted to that, where we're not going to consider the sinful side, we're going to look at the pious, then the Bhagavatam starts to show, but it's beyond that. That doesn't actually matter. So Prahlad Maharaj from 7th Canto starts saying that, well, if you're not... connecting something to Krishna, it has no real value. But we're taking here by this comment Prabhu was making that he had heard that that the good qualities themselves have value in themselves, different from Krishna, different from bhakti. Just they stand there in their own, bathed in their own glory. And then so you have to use those to attain God. In other words, good qualities are the way, they are the light, they are the, what's the third one? The way, the light, and the?
The truth.
The truth, yes, and the truth, yes. Just want to make sure you get it right? Because it's all about the qualities, right? Yeah, so that's the problem is that they have a value in that, being nice, being good, people aren't nice and good, I don't like it, and so therefore, so if devotional service is going to be good, it has to have all these good qualities. Therefore, devotional service depends on good qualities. But all it means is they're only interested in devotional service because of the good qualities. So that makes them an arta. Someone who approaches Krishna because they want a emotionally kind of secure environment. That makes sense. So it's a neophyte position, but one has to be very careful to not project one's own attachments onto the devotional process. You may present it through and using example of your attachments, because everybody has. So then you're giving your personal testimony, and people will be, can relate with it and go, yeah, I have those attachments. I could also then, I should try to, connect them to Krishna and stuff like that. That's fine. But to say that I'm going to take it that my perspective is devotional service, that we have to be very careful of. Because we see, as that I said, from 7th canto Bhagavatam, it's all the way through, but the emphasis from 7th canto is there. 9th canto then shows that things that are opposite of what you think are going well. Like you have, you have the, what do you call it? Vritrasura. He's a demon. And Indra's the demigod. He's the devotee. Right? So now he's terrorizing the universe, as demons, as the occupational duty of a demon demands. He's doing that. And so then Indra doesn't know what to do, so they go to Vishnu. Vishnu tells them to approach Dadichi, and with Dadichi's bones, then he'll, be able to make the thunderbolt and all that. So then when they come out on the battlefield and Vritrasura is there, the demigods, send all their weapons, and he just kind of yawns and swallows them, like that. So Indra comes up, and he's got he has the thunderbolt, but he doesn't have faith in it, because he's a third class devotee. Right? We have to remember Vritrasura is a first class devotee. So then he comes and he throws his club, because his club's always worked. He's always defeated his enemies with his club. He's never used this thunderbolt. He doesn't know what it'll do. Even though Vishnu said, but still, you have to trust in your own instincts, right? So he throws that. Vritrasura catches it with his left hand, not even bothering with the right, just, like that. And then taking it, he goes up to him and smacks Airavata, and he goes flying back with Indra so far. And in the process, he drops the thunderbolt. Then having done this, then Vritrasura tells him, says, Vishnu gave you that thunderbolt to defeat me, and you're his servant. You're supposed to have faith in the words of Vishnu. So now if you're an actual devotee, you'll pick up that thunderbolt. With that, you'll fight. You understand? So then that turns on his head. So devotional service is in its own category. We have our idea, everything good, nice. Because why good? Because good gives good results. Good results means good facility. Good facility means good enjoyment. So we haven't even got down to the qualities here where Krishna's not looking for, absence of sense enjoyment. But at the same time it says, having all material, possession of all objects of enjoyment, but absence of sense enjoyment. So he has all the facilities, but he's not interested in it. That's why you see someone like Yudhishthira has all the opulences, but it's not for sense enjoyment. So that's why we're able to use opulence for Krishna. But otherwise people would say, this is, how is this devotional service? It's not renounced. But no, devotional service means it's connected to Krishna. We renounce the mundane. Because for the ordinary person, they'll look at it, facility means enjoyment. You have facility, that means you're enjoying. Because that's what they would do. Does that make sense? So in the beginning, it's encouraged so that you see that, you take up proper action, you follow, you do these things. But it has to be understood as bhakti is something beyond. It doesn't mean it doesn't change. It doesn't mean that when you understand that, you don't use good qualities. It means that you focus on Krishna, the good qualities manifest. Before that, you practice the good qualities in the performance of your service. Right? It means that when the service comes up, you'll have plenty of opportunity to practice these things. You have to be humble. You have to be tolerant. You have to be all these things. You don't have to separately do it. Right? You don't have to go out here and lay down on the first step, just outside the door, so all the devotees come and step on you, going in and out, and that way you can be humble and all that. And, and as they go by, then you suggest, there's still a little dirt on that, your left shoe, you can wipe it off, here at my back, so like that. And then they do that. Oh, thank you. Very nice. Thank you. And then go in. You understand? So that's the whole point is that the devotee uses good qualities because that's the natural thing. Krishna has all good qualities. So that means his interaction will be based on those. That's the secondary form. But the actual essence of the interaction is devotion. So in other words, the qualities are the fine aspects of the secondary. Right? You have Sankarshan and Prajumna, you know, of the Chaturvyuha. So Sankarshan will be that knowledge, the skills, the identity, the relationship, the environment, you know, that's there, the facilities, all that. But Prajumna will be the attitude, right? That enthusiasm, knowing the goal, knowing these things, trying to accomplish all that, that mood that's there. With that, then you apply the knowledge and skills. You understand? But still, that's only two. Prayojanas, please Krishna. You understand? So there, you have these, all these things are three separate things. The knowledge, skills, and the attitude are in the secondary. Pleasing Krishna is the primary. So if the point is you have to get the primary. It's not that the quality of the secondary makes the primary. The primary is independent. That's like saying Balaram and Vasudev, without them, Krishna, you know, is not Krishna. Krishna is independent. He expands as Vasudev and Balaram. Does that make sense? So on this level, it's a different aspect. So of course, we're always going to use proper things and we're trying to use all these good qualities. But even we're not good at the good qualities, still, if the devotion is there, Krishna accepts it. And because he accepts it, then you become purified. And because you become purified, then more of these qualities start to manifest. But on the platform of material life, then unless you're born with good qualities, where are you going to get them from? You know what I'm saying? You work really hard to develop them, but are you going to develop all these qualities? Someone works on one, he tries to be truthful and all that, and he'll spend a good part of his life trying to develop that. You know what I'm saying? His parents talk about it, then when he's kind of in his late teens, he takes it as, you know, his thing. And, you know, he does that all through college and all that, and everybody harasses him about it. Like that, but it's his kind of his thing. So by kind of, he's kind of adjusting with it by the late 20s, early 30s. And that, so he's got that one quality starting to get done like that. Now, what about all the others? Now, can he use that in Krishna's service? Well, if he'd been developing Krishna's service all that time, then he would have developed nicely in that. And besides that one quality, so many other qualities would have come along with it also. So it's a much more efficient system. Right? To get so many qualities like that will take so many lifetimes. You know, you just see, how long does it take for someone to adjust? You know, the guy's, you know, how you say, very, you know, snarky and gnarly and all this kind of thing. And then by the time he starts seeing, you know, sometimes, yeah, in his 40s, he starts to mellow down a bit. In the 50s, by 60s, then he's kind of an okay guy. You know, and by 80s, now he's nice. You know, so that's 60 years like that. You know, in 60 years in devotional service, so many qualities come up. So it's a much more efficient system since it's Krishna's system. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to separate what is primary and what's secondary, but you're manifesting primary through secondary, but the primary is not dependent upon the secondary. Yes?
Sundara, but if I understand right, you are saying that practicing self-realization is more dependent on fulfilling the obligations and
no, it's on pleasing Krishna.
Understanding the need of the soul.
Yes, but even the need of the soul, that's just the environment. It's still secondary. The main point is the relationship between the soul and Krishna, which is based on devotion. That's the main element.
Yes, but the initial stage is the just questioning and...
Yes, that's there. But the point is it's still your contact with bhakti. Is we don't know what bhakti is, so from the acharyas they tell us and we practice. And that's why we advance, because we have that faith. Right? In other words, faith is the main quality that's necessary. Like that. But that means faith in Krishna, in the process of bhakti, in the acharyas, in the practices, in the holy name. Like that. So you have faith in Krishna. But the point is it has to be connected to Krishna. If it's just faith in good qualities, you won't advance in devotional service. Like so many people coming with good qualities and that, they can't stay around. And some people with bad qualities, then they stick it out. You don't know why, right? Because of devotion. And vice versa. And some people come with bad qualities and they just can't relate and they go away. And others with good qualities and they can see the good qualities. It's just a matter of good qualities. If you can't see good qualities, then how many good qualities do we have? You know what I'm saying? If we say, bhakti can't function without good qualities, that means do you have good qualities to actually see? Does that make sense?
Yes, I think I understand. But what I want to ask you is how can we have the devotion to Sri Krishna unless we understand his good qualities, and how can we understand the good qualities unless we have it?
The point is we have the point is what we're dealing with is that are we understanding through our material logic, or are we understanding through the potency of the chit, of the internal potency, the spiritual potency? So it's just like we're using words, the same words that everybody uses, but when it's used in general context, no one's becoming God conscious. We're using the same words, people are becoming God conscious. Why? Because of the chit potency that's there, that's coming down through the parampara. Right? So, therefore, it's by that association we start to get purified and start to gain faith in the transcendental. So it's that faith that makes it work. Does that make sense? We may or may not have great qualities because... It means you just look in the room here. Who's here? Now, of who's here, how many of who's here, if they were not devotees, would ever be associating with anybody else in this room? You understand? Everybody is so different and unique. Somebody says? But if you go into who hangs out together, they're quite similar. And there's always the one guy that's not quite there. He's either too loud or too very quiet, you know, like that, or, you know, very weird, something. But there's something common that they all like to hang out with them. No? Yeah. And every group has their, that guy. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that it's because it's not based on these mundane qualities. It's based on the spiritual potency. And from that, they have faith. And in that faith, then they're able to apply themselves. Now, you in your position, whatever you have good qualities or not, you try your best to use your best qualities for Krishna. So it's not that you don't use them. It's just that it's not required if you don't have them. You know, it's just like, okay, let us say, for an example, you have an A4 piece of paper. Does that make sense? You know A4? Yeah. Okay, you have that. You have a kid, little kid, and you have some crayons. Okay, now somehow they pick them up and they draw, you know, somehow they always draw a sun. You know, it's got a smile and all that. There's always a mountain. You know, there's always a house on that mountain at the 45-degree angle, you know, sticking up. Then there's the chimney, there's the smoke, there's some birds flying, there might be a rainbow or something like that. There's some water, you know, like this, and there may be some flowers and sticking out of it and stuff like that. Now, is that a Rembrandt? You know, Michelangelo, Bernini, you know, how you say, Van Gogh? No. But it's on the refrigerator, and they'll be there for years, right? And when the kid gets too big that they can't relate to it, it'll go in a box. And you can come 50 years later, it will be there in the box. You understand? Now, do they have any artistic talent? Basically, you know, I mean, in other words, if you handed that in, you know, as your,
submission.
Your submission to Juilliard, would you get in? Right? Probably not. You know? Unless you could do everything like that, then you might start a new trend, right? You know, like that. you know, like what do you call it? Satsarup Maharaj's art. It's like kind of like that, and he does big shows. He's very, 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 you know, well known in the artist world. It's a unique style. No one else does like that. So the point is there's no talent. So what about that drawing is attractive? Because technique is not great. It's done on a piece of paper. It's done with Crayolas. You know? And it's not even that the colors even match nicely. So what is it? Right? It's the mood. You understand? So that's what Krishna is attracted to. Because we have to remember, everything is Krishna. It's already him. The qualities are him, the technique is him, the process, the results are him. Everything's already him. So what do you have to offer to Krishna? It's the devotion. So now you want to make it the best for Krishna, so you're naturally going to use your best qualities, best technique, best intelligence, you know, best methods. But it's the devotion to Krishna that he cares about. And you just do a great job, it's not enough for Krishna. Because it's already him anyway. You know, it's just like, okay, you have the backyard, right? And in the backyard, there's a bunch of dandelions. You know dandelions? Okay. So they're not considered necessarily a high-grade flower, right? You go down to the florist, he's not going to have dandelions, right? Okay. So now, let us say it's Mother's Day. Or even it's not Mother's Day, it's just any day. And the kid goes out and picks a few of those dandelions and takes them in, and he doesn't put them together so great. If you hear there, and that one's broken and stuff like that, and he hands it to his mom. His mom is really happy with those. She'll put them in a little glass and keep them there. But now, if her husband walks in with a handful of dandelions, then he could go, you know, sleep out in the doghouse, you know, like that, and get his own dinner, right? Like that, you know, or share with the dog. You know, he's got to bring home, you know, how you say, you know, a dozen, you know, of roses or something, you know. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that it's not based on technique, it's the attitude. So if you don't have technique, the attitude's enough. But now, in this case, the husband has technique, so he's going to show his attitude by good technique. But even then, if he's proud of his technique, it's still not going to work. It's about the mood. Somebody said? So, does that get anywhere?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay.
I was just trying. What I was going after was that because of the good qualities in this, that Krishna is worth the devotion.
He has the good qualities, but we don't necessarily have them. But it's not just the qualities are the attractive feature. Rupa Goswami mentions that, because we have name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So it's mentioned that Rupa Goswami is very much attracted by Krishna's good qualities. So that's why you see they're constantly mentioned about his qualities. But the point is it's these qualities, for him, it's not that he has them, they're not just a static element. But he uses them to express his affection to the devotees. And the devotees, according to their qualities, then express their devotion to him. So qualities are the medium that are used. But we have to understand is that without the devotion, there's no meaning. Just like, let's say, I go out and buy myself, you know, I go down to Stockman and I buy one of those, you know, 238, you know, euro frying pans. Okay? Now, it's a good frying pan, right? And so now I hang it on the wall in my kitchen and people come in, yeah, check out my frying pan and this and that. But if I never cook in it, what's the meaning of it? The only purpose of that frying pan is that it cooks stuff. So when I get something cooked, now it has a meaning. Without cooking, it has no meaning. Even though it's a fabulous frying pan. You understand? So all the good qualities, all the knowledge, all the technique, all the situations, all the facilities, if they're not connected to Krishna, they don't have any meaning. But as soon as they're connected, then they're very valuable. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, probably gives the example of you can have so having all these material qualities are just like so many zeros. They don't have any meaning. But if you put a one in front of all those zeros, you have a big number. So that's the whole point. As soon as Krishna's connected, now it's a value. But to say that, you know, it's the zeros that make, you know, it's the zeros that are the substance. No, it's the one that's the substance. Because if I just have zeros, I can have 100 zeros across the page. It doesn't matter. I got 100 zeros across the page. But that guy, he only has 5 zeros. And just a one. A one and 5 zeros. I have 100 zeros. Like that. Why does he talk like he's the big guy? Does that make sense? You know, I get this 100 zeros every day. He only gets that, you know, one with 5 zeros, you know, once a month, you know. I get this every day. You understand? So that's what we're making the distinction. It's not that we're lessening the importance of good qualities. We're just showing its context. So if you know how to cook, that good pan is very useful. And even if you don't know how to cook, there's a good chance you won't burn things as much. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so the water will just evaporate. It won't burn. So, you know, you're good. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Thank you. Something else? Yes.
So bhakti is blessing us with all good qualities, and the bad qualities, I guess, naturally disappear also.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but there's like this one of the worst qualities, as Srila Prabhupada said, it destroys the movement, the gossip and criticism is one of the worst qualities.
Right? Yes, yes.
It's like offense. It's also just gradually, naturally disappears.
It will, but the point is, on these qualities, then there has to be the element that you see is that it's talked about in Krishna's pastimes. That he has the pastimes that are attractive. You know, his playing with the cowherd boys, his, you know, playing with Mother Jashoda, you know, with the gopis, you know, all in the residents of Vrindavan, all these are very attractive. So that's the primary aspect. That's the main aspect. The secondary aspect is you see he's killing all these demons that come. Right, and so then in that way, by hearing those pastimes, one by the other pastimes, your attraction to developing love for Krishna is cultivated. By hearing about him killing the demons, then you know that inspiration there, and then the heart gets purified. Right, it means you get purified the other way, but the others, the demons, it's removing the things that you need to open the window again. Here, open the window. So I knew yesterday you were tricking me. And he said, "Oh no, no, we ate more for breakfast and this and that."
What do you think happened today?
All right, lunch is at 4? Oh, it was a good breakfast. Yeah, and the Gurukul, it took us quite a few years, and we figured out you have a lighter breakfast and do a bigger lunch. Because otherwise, then after breakfast, you can't have classes.
It's her fault.
Yeah. What to do? Yes. I
didn't eat myself, so.
Yeah, so you're good. You're good. Yeah, yeah, see, she's smart. That way she can ask all the questions, everybody else is asleep. Yeah, you know, see. Planning. Okay. So then the aspect it mentions there is that there's all these demons that Krishna kills. And then there's, I think, Palambasura and Danukasura, then Balaram kills. So it said that with Krishna, if just by absorbing yourself in Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, then all the qualities, the bad qualities that are represented by those demons, those will go away just by being absorbed in Krishna. But the ones that Balaram killed, those you have to be aware of them and want them to go away. then if that's surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna is pleased, then Balaram will appear, and in a moment they're all gone. So there's that aspect, is that we're aware of the bad qualities, but we're not overwhelmed by them. It's just the fact that they're there. And so then we surrender to Krishna, because only he can take these things away. We can't get rid of them. Right? So this whole idea is that you'll develop the good quality. No, it's Krishna's quality. And if there's a negative of that or a lack of that, it's also we're not going to do it. Krishna's going to do it. But it's by that surrender to him. So if someone, let's say, on the material platform follows the process of cultivation of a good quality, Krishna being pleased will award them with that good quality. But it's not that there's a separate system. So the whole point is, since it's all about Krishna, why should we be working with the mundane processes without Krishna? Why wouldn't we connect all those to Krishna? That's Yukta Vairagya. And that way then it all becomes devotion. Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful that, because otherwise we say is without the good qualities you can't perform bhakti. That means we have faith that actually the mundane consciousness, the mundane situation actually has substance. But it's an illusion. We're not the body, we're not the soul, we're not these qualities. It means you have these qualities this life, next life, you're something else. Does that make sense? So just the situation changes, and the nice guy becomes not so nice. You know, that standard thing is the guy's there, just the regular, ordinary, you know, how you say, guy in the house, and then he has a nice fish that he likes, and then someone comes along and harasses his fish or eats his fish, and then he turns into, as Mataji said before, the badass, and then, you know, kills everybody, you know, in revenge for his fish. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so the whole thing is these elements, the mundane is a reflection of the spiritual. And so this idea is that devotional service, which is the original, is dependent. That's like saying that, you actually, unless you adjust everything in the mirror, you're not going to look good. It's not that I'm adjusting here in the real world. I have to adjust the mirror. I have to go up and move the hair in the mirror. Then you'll look good. That's the point of saying without these good qualities, it can't be devotional service. It's like, what are they talking for? You know what I'm saying? Even the Buddhists do better than that, you know? You know, because they know it's illusion, you know. So this whole idea that karma actually has substance, is real, has its own separate existence that bhakti is dependent upon. It's like, you know, it's not philosophy. Right? It's not truth. It's not reality. It's not shastra. It's understood that you have to have good qualities. But that's because you're trying to deal with good qualities. It means you're trying to give up dealing with bad qualities. We're used to dealing with bad qualities, like you said, gossip and fault finding and all these things like that. So we're used to that. So we have to be aware that we should be trying not to do that. But why? Because it's just not good to criticize and all this and that and, you know, like that, be the good Samaritan? Or is it a matter of Krishna doesn't like it? That's why we're not. Does that make sense? So we have to understand the drive for it. Then it becomes spiritual. Is that okay? Yes.
When it comes to relationships and being truthful, what is the principle there? Because if one would step everything, then...
No, but when you say relationship, so... Truth, in other words, what supports the relationship. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so in here, looking at the principle, if we're just taking a look at reflection, okay? So you have, it's all about Krishna, right? And the interaction with Krishna. So it's about the relationship between Krishna and the devotees with the devotees based on Krishna. Right? So that means, because it's favorable to Krishna, that's why then it is considered truth. Right? Krishna is tattva. Like that. So now, then, the secondary is only purpose is to support the primary. Right? So that means relationship with Krishna, relationship with the devotees. So then the techniques, the knowledge, the skills, all these different things, if they're not supporting the relationship, then what's the point? That's what we're saying. We take truth on its own. But truth is an impersonal concept. Right? Then the person, Krishna, he manifests truth in his dealings. But otherwise, he pervades everything as truth. Right? So when people talk about, well, you have to be truthful, they're talking about the impersonal concept. They're not talking about the personal. Right? So in the personal, there's culture, there's etiquette, there's all these things. Those have to be used in the application of truth. Otherwise, what's the point of truth? What does it do? And if we, because we see, if we just deal with truth based on itself, it creates an impersonal environment. It breaks down relationships. So how is that doing something good?
So it's okay to not say
the point is it's just like let's say you're in the kitchen and you're cooking a preparation. And so you have so many ingredients in the kitchen. So to manifest a particular preparation, do you need all the ingredients in the kitchen? So then, in a particular situation within the relationship, do you need all the facts? Then? Does that make sense? Because this whole point of truth is, means mundane truth is so overrated. You know, it's made out as it's all based on that, and oh, you lied, you this, you didn't tell the truth, and that's the deal breaker on everything. But the point is, at the same time, is if to that same person, the same situation, who had actually said the truth, it wouldn't have worked either. You know what I'm saying? Like one devotee was telling me is, his wife was, you know, complaining about him that he wasn't behaving nicely in some way. And you know, just to, and they're an old couple, you know. It means they've been together for a long time. And so then she says, you know, just to harass, says something like, you know, then, you know, maybe I should just find someone else who will behave properly or something. You know, just to say. And then he, instead of taking, it's a mood. It's not that she's talking actually about finding someone. She's just saying that. Though, generally speaking, in at least, you know, more traditional society, you wouldn't use that as a you know, point of leverage. But whatever it is, from their background, it wasn't a what do you call it? It's not a strange thing from the background. But then he, instead of taking it, you know, this and that, and trying to, you know, appease her, then he just switched into truth mode. He just said, but you're so old. You don't look good. Who's going to want to marry you? That was it. Their relationship did not recover. It just finished. And they had been married like 20, 30 years. So therefore, truth is overrated, because what was the truth there? The truth was the emotional content, not facts. So that's the thing, is now in present day, fact is taken as it means truth is taken as facts, but at the same time, as unspokenly, it's inferred that it's actually attitude, but it's not articulated. So no one actually knows, because no one deals with truth. you know, especially journalists. Right? Do the journalists say truth? We're here out on the street today, and we're talking with this guy and all that because it just came up, and it's different from all the other news that everybody's so sick and tired of. But, you know, this guy's a bit of a dweeb, and we really couldn't care less about this guy. But, you know, hey, you know, we got to do something. You know, I mean, when you do news 24 hours a day, there's nothing to talk about. So, I mean, here we are with this guy and his parakeet and all that. And I personally hate parakeets like that. So I'm going to, you know, do the thing where I kind of stand there and face the camera and hold the thing out because I'm so far as away from his parakeet as possible because like that. But, you know, hey. Hey, you know, Mr. Smith, you know, this story about your, you know, parakeet, you know, how you say, singing the national anthem, could you kindly, you know, how did this happen, you know, like that? So is he naturally inspired? He's patriotic or, you know, like that? But we know he's a bird, so all this is nonsense. We know you probably spent years trying to teach him and all this and that, so we appreciate that you... how you say, put in all that work, but does anybody really care about a parakeet, you know, chanting the national anthem like that? But, you know, hey, you know, it's 6 a.m, I got nothing better to do, and please hurry up, because I really want to get down to the place and get some coffee, you know, like that. I've been up at night, you know, actually reporting on real news, but hey, so yeah, you know, so like that. Right? So that's the whole point. If they were truthful about the facts, it's like, you know? So it's not happening. Everything would fall apart. The point is that you can say, oh, it's not based on truth. The point is relationships, what happened to tolerance? What happened to all those things? Why is it truthfulness takes the over thing? What about tolerance? What about... You know, here is this other one. Intolerance of another's unhappiness. You know, what about those ones? You know, like that. The power to control anger, self-satisfaction. You know, straightforwardness. You're able to say what you want, but in a pleasant way. Like that. That's all the farther we got so far. The first six. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole thing is we have to understand that these qualities are very useful in Krishna's service, but they're only useful if they're used in Krishna's service. If they're not, they're nice. It just means it's nice illusion rather than not nice illusion. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like a pleasant clown instead of a scary clown at the circus or something. You know? You know, still problem is he still has small hands and he still smells like cabbage, but... right?
So, the relationships... so, relationships...
See, like you said, if you stick to facts, then you can't even function. Yes, based on the souls and then the duties in connection with the situations that those souls are in. So in other words, the context they're in. So that's how you're basing it. What is the relationship based on what the scriptures say? And therefore, what are the duties connected with that and everything like that? And so according to that, then we function. Like in the modern society, you know, it's a reflection, but it starts to become... I say perverted or distorted, you know, the potency of it becomes weaker. They attribute certain duties in certain situations that don't belong there. You know, it's just like, let's say, in Brahma's court, he was having all the demigods were there, they were having some program. And what was his name? Mahabisha, I think. He was a demigod, very pious in that. So he's able to also go up to Brahma's court and be there. During that assembly, then Gangadevi walked in. But just then the breeze blew and it disheveled her clothes and all that. So all the demigods looked away. Mahabisha didn't. So then after the program was over and all that, then Brahma called over Mahabisha and Ganga and said that, that everybody turned away because it's improper. You looked. That's improper. That's not a demigod quality. So therefore, you belong on Earth. So even though he's a demigod there, he had to come down to Earth. So he became Shantanu, right? Ganga Devi became Ganga Devi, right? She just stayed who she was. So the whole idea was that's there. So now let us say the girl is walking down the street. And she's, dressed according to her particular liking for this wonderful, balmy, sunny day. Now, you look away, she gets annoyed. Right? What's the whole point? She's come out on the street dressed like that, that everybody there will notice that she's dressed like that. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is we create these things. But it's not actually the culture. It's not actually the standard. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we always have to be very careful that even when we're applying these things to qualities, the definition of the qualities is according to Krishna. So if you want to know what these qualities means, you read about them in Nectar Devotion. Right? In the Southern Ocean, because it's about Vibhava, so it gives the 64 qualities of Krishna. And so then there you can actually see what it actually means. And so when the acharyas, when they define it, then that's there. Right? Otherwise, we give our own definition and say it has to be like that because it pleases us. But it's like, it's a self-satisfaction. So if you're self-satisfied, others don't have to be pleased for you to be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? It's just because... It's not that you have to prove yourself and then they reciprocate, so then you're satisfied whether they approve or not. And then if they approve, then it makes it nicer. Then if they don't, life goes on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you judge facts on how are they useful for the relationship. And if it's useful, then it's a matter of the etiquette and intelligence how you apply it. So it might take you months to, reveal a particular fact, or years to get the effect. So it's just in other words, relationships are a long-term project. Otherwise, how do you keep yourself busy? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay.
Krishna makes his promise to them that he will return Brahmathura back to Vrindavan. Are they taking this promise as a statement of fact or as an attitude?
But with Krishna, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Because he's the reservoir of all these, so it's like that. So the point is that he does return. It's just a matter of whether we can see that within the the Prakat pastimes. But he goes back in the, how do you call it? I think the acharyas give a thing, it's the Bhav Sarup or something like that. So they're always with Krishna in the mood, though they're feeling in separation, but they're always with Krishna. So he is there. And then he does go back. When he finishes work. So then with after the pastime of Dantavakra, because that happens up near Hastinapur or something. So then he takes the chance to go to Vrindavan. And so he sees everybody, he's there for 2 months, and then after that, then the pastimes become apricot. So the Vrindavan pastimes disappear. Dorka pastimes continue, but the Vrindavan disappear. It means they're going on eternally, because the two go on at once. And so both of them, if there's any difference in them, the devotees in that, they don't see each other. So Nanda Baba in the Prakat and Nanda Baba in the Apricot, they won't see each other. Like that. So it's in other words, it's working in a different realm, so you don't have to worry if Krishna cheated anybody or not. So. Like that. Like that. Okay. Yes.
Just a little comment that Prabhupada made, since Prabhupada Kilometer is every quote from every day.
Okay.
Regarding this discussion. Yeah, it was a letter where he answered some other letter. And obviously there was some complaint in that letter about certain qualities or whatever. And then probably he kind of toned it down, and then he said, but he ended with committed life is sublime life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, this is the main.
Yes. No, because if you're absorbed in Krishna, you don't see. It's like two examples, you know, going along where you see. You mentioned the point that he probably toned it down. There was, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was upstairs because in the house he lived upstairs and the sannyasis lived downstairs. So then he could hear them talking. They were complaining about somebody. I think one of the devotees there had maybe died or something like that. And they were talking about, you know, someone was, you know, this, you know, I guess his attitude wasn't so good or this or that, whatever. They each had, you know, a whole bucket full of, you know, complaints. And hearing that that's the direction it goes and it wasn't changing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came down the stairs, and then when he got down they all stopped and all that, and he says, but he wore his cloth very nicely and then walked back up the stairs. So then they understood, you know, why should we be criticized? Or another one where we see Srila Prabhupada then had a Chutananda Maharaj, and Chutananda Maharaj is super intelligent. It's like to keep him, you know, for fun he preaches to there's a club called, I think it's called Mensa.
Yeah.
Yeah? It means you can't be in the club unless you have an IQ of 160 or something like that. He would invite them over and, you know, to the Govinda's restaurant, give them up a shot and then talk and preach them like that. And they'd be all laughing so much like that. So means, you know, in other words, he's a genius, actually, you know, like that. So he would be constantly, whatever he would see, make it into something funny. So then the devotees went to Prabhupada complaining that, you know, we can't chant, we can't, you know, our sadhana is all, you know, distracted because the Chutananda is always joking on everything. You know, and they were coming up serious complaint. A whole bunch of them came up. Prabhupada says, yes, to make people laugh, you have to be very intelligent. And that was his comment. And so they all went, oh, okay. You know, tiptoe back out the room, like that. So the whole point is that being able to see the good qualities means bad qualities, it's Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. So when it says ocean, it's pretty much literal there, you know. So that if someone is to be able to see the good quality that's there, then that's an advantage. Because then from there you can build. So bad qualities to be able to see, bad qualities simply means lack of the good. We're taking it that the bad qualities are qualities on their own. Like bad is on its own. So that it's just a lack of the good. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it just basically means that, yeah, they say, in the previous discussion, then the glutamus maximi of the individual wasn't of great quality, so therefore they were not seen in a good light. You know, so it's a lack of the good. Does that make sense? Yes.
So that's the lack of
Yeah, it means we're used to see the good qualities because that's what you're doing. Because that's what's fun, because we have to remember it's Krishna's pastimes. He is everything. So it's the interaction that's nice. right? You know, like Maru Mangal is always taking things and making it into something interesting. You know, he says that, you know, they're sitting at the breakfast, you know. The one, you know, means we sing the song for the Bogartik, the noon artik, but because Krishna, that's for your, when you're following the, you know, the standard kind of things, then you have lunch. But if you're going out all day and, you know, working, like Krishna takes out the cows, then he'll have a big breakfast. It's like lunch, and then he'll come back in the evening and have a dinner. Right? So that song that we sing, you know, Shukta Shakati Bhaji, that's what he was eating in the morning before going out to the field. So they're sitting there eating, right? And Madhav Mangal goes, he goes, you know, and the prasad's really nice and he's appreciating it. And then he makes the things that, yes, you know, Bharat Muni, you know, in his Natya Shastra, he describes, because he's the Acharya on Rasa, right? Rupa Goswami quotes him. So then he says, he explains, you know, 8 sattvika bhavas. But I find that there's, in my opinion, there's only 6, right? So, you know, how you say, and so he starts to go through them. You know, that means that the sattvika bhavas are the physical reactions one has in seeing Krishna, you know, and being inspired by Krishna in one's attachment for him. Does that make sense? You know, standing the hairs on end and crying and all those. And so then he goes through it. When I see the, you know, like, let's say the samosa cooked by Mother Jashoda, then, you know, my hairs stand on end. And then when I smell it, then, you know, this, and it goes on through all these things until, in the fact, when he tastes it, then he becomes stunned and he can't do anything, you know. So Krishna and everything, they just laugh, you know. It's like, you understand? So they're using their intelligence how to bring out things and find nice things for Krishna. You know, to find not nice things, then if you're in a position where you're have a responsibility to help the person understand what's wrong, then you can point out the fault, but you have to point it out how it's a fault because of its not being connected to the positive. But to just say it's wrong, and that's itself is just the end of the authoritative element. Just that it's wrong is not that, and you have to do it right, but why? Why do you have to do it right? Why is it wrong? Because it doesn't please Krishna. It's right because it pleases Krishna. So just to find the fault, that you can always find. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends on, it's like logic. Logic, you can't find the absolute truth because in logic, somebody's good, somebody else is better. So whatever you establish with nice arguments, someone else who's more clever can come along and throw it out the window. So in anything that you're doing, then any material skill, somebody is always better. So based on that platform, you can't actually understand. So it's by Krishna's grace, his entering into it, then it becomes perfect. But then it means it has to be devotion. Does that make sense? So we always have to remember is that the bad qualities are simply a lack of the good. They don't stand on their own. They don't have a separate existence. You know, it's just like Maya is the shadow of Yoga Maya. You know, so because the shadow's there, it has an existence, but it's not separate from, it's not that Mahamaya could exist and not Yogamaya. No, it's because of Yogamaya, therefore there's Mahamaya. Because the person is there, then there's a shadow. It's not that the person goes away and the shadow stays there. When the person, you know, when the person goes away, then the shadow goes, ha ha ha. Yeah, what's that? Mwah ha 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 ha, yeah. You know, and then sneaks off, you know. That's it, you know. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a separate existence. Does that make sense? So if that's clear, because we take it that the illusion, the material nature, has its own substance, its own existence. Therefore, we give so much strength to bad qualities or lack of good qualities. But we're looking at that the material actually has meaning. And based on that, then we can elevate ourselves. Because our concept of spiritual is material, because we have to remember that moksha is still a material concept. People are, means that in the spiritual world, they are on the liberated platform. But the concept of liberating yourself, the soul is never not liberated. The soul is always eternally, you know, in the liberator platform. But the consciousness of the soul identifies with matter, so therefore they function in a conditioned way. Does that make sense? So that's why, because it's conceived of from a material platform, even they get liberation, they have to come back. Because the concept is material. Even the yogis, Paramatma, they see Krishna as on his own, just as a person with, you know, it's a slightly, he's a person, but if he's a person, what does he do? What is he like? Who are his friends? What are his activities? That's a person. But no, he just sits there and we meditate on him. So it's partial understanding of him as a person. That's why there's a difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan. So that's why the yogis, they meditate on the Lord, and unless they go through the devotion to Bhagavan, they also come back. You know, so if you're absorbed in Brahman or Paramatma, and you get to these places of liberation, you will be back. Does that make sense? It's guaranteed. So, but when you go through to Bhagavan, that's when, and you're dealing with the chit potency under the devotees, that's real. Madhvacharya explains that real liberation is attaining a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Right? That's real liberation. Does that make sense? Does that work? Or yes, no?
That's also this verse describing the sati bhakti bhagavata kuncha, that by doing bhakti, so demigod's quality develop. Otherwise, there is no good qualities.
There are no good qualities. Yeah, I mean, if we were to take that angle, okay, we have a minute, if you do bhakti, the qualities that the soul manifests are actually the soul's. So if the guy is doing devotional service and he's nice, means he actually, the soul is nice. But if you have a non-devotee and they're nice, it's not a quality of the soul, because they want to control and enjoy. So it's qualities of their conditioned nature. So they're borrowed from the universal form. So technically they have no good qualities because they're not theirs. You know, it's like they're going out and renting a Rolls Royce and then showing up the big program. Everybody thinks you're a big guy, but it's none of us here. The tuxedo's rented, the car's rented, you know, you hired the chauffeur, you know, the girl on your arm you also picked up, you know, from on the internet. You know, so the whole thing, there's nothing that's real. So everyone will think, wow, he's a great guy, you know, but no. So that's the living. So even though it appears, oh, but they're so, the karmis are so nice. No, they're not. If those nice qualities that you see and appreciate, those are from the universal form. Those are Krishna's qualities. So you're appreciating Krishna. But the soul itself is in total illusion. So what's so great? If you want to take it through to there, that's 11th cantos, you know, kind of. So it's, you know, it's the Gita level of things. But so it's this whole thing is that without good qualities you can't function. But they're talking about without universal form good qualities you can't perform devotional service, which is transcendental. So in other words, unless you appreciate the qualities of Brahman, you can't work with Bhagavan, because Bhagavan's not independent of Brahman. So then, what philosophy are we discussing here? Right. Hence, nirvisesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine. Yeah. That's the fun. Okay, we'll end here. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.